I'm Bob Bolton from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Park.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
I'm Orville Huntington. I don't know who my partner is, but I'm not related to them, whoever they are.
Wilson, Justin. All my partners are friends and compatriots and clan relatives. Want me to start?
Yeah, you could go ahead.
Storytelling in our Atna region is foundational. It's our school. You learn everything you need to know through stories.
Yeah.
Everywhere you need to go through stories, and everything that you need to interact with other people through storytelling. Is that how your background is?
It's similar. When we're younger, we just listen. And then, like right now, I'm learning from you. I'm a little bit younger.
When I was growing up, the storytellers would talk to each other to make sure they have the story right. If you were lucky enough to be close by, you can listen, but you can't make noise, you were in the background.
I can remember a lot of times they expected us to remember certain events like 1939 when the salmon were so plentiful you could walk across the river on them. And I try to figure in my mind as a scientist how much that was, and I come up to somewhere around 1 million king salmon and probably no number on chum salmon, too many. I remember that date for them since they worked so hard. Remember that one time.
When I first heard these stories, they were all in our language, you know, just Athabaskan, Atna, no English. And as I began to have this English come into my life, by the time I was 8, 9, 10 years of age, it started to create a lot of confusion. A lot of the terminology didn't match.
A lot of times when they told me in broken English, I misinterpret what they meant. So a lot of this stuff sounded funny, but really it was the way they were telling it. It was supposed to be told in Athabaskan.
I was only allowed to basically ask a question once because they expected my memory to work like their memory. Their memory is infallible. They remember things 30 years ago, 40 years ago on a wide range. And I can remember linearly stuff that I did, but not what other people did, which is what our elders could remember. You talk about cousins and relatives doing things in other places. And since our existence is glued together by stories and songs and language, all of our laws and everything, I have a certain way of looking at stories that the younger, the next generation won't be able to accommodate.
Right. A lot of the young ones, they don't know Athabaskan anymore, so you have to get it as close as you can in English.
One of the things that English doesn't adequately capture in reference to the indigenous storytelling context is the importance, the enormous importance of the stories by itself. We consider stories to be alive, and they're a neighbor, a friend, a protector. When I hear a story, it's like being at a neighbor's table or a friend's table having supper or something. And you don't get a sense of that in any place in the scientific literature. I don't know how long you've been on meetings and boards, but that's pretty tough to sit there and read that stuff.
It's tough to listen to, and then just talking to you this short time, you're way more knowledge than any PhD that I sat down with the last 20 years. Just the way you tell the story and what you remember. Yeah, your people in the Upper Tanana, they saved a lot of culture. You guys saved Yukon area, Southeast area, and then I know some of those stories and songs and stuff you guys held on for a long time before you gave them back. And we did that a little bit on the Kaikuk because we go over Kobuk River all the time, but it was a different language. So my grandmother got used to speaking in Inupiaq, even though it wasn't our people. They wanted us to kind of save some of their story because there was a lot of people coming in. They weren't allowed to speak their language or nothing. We weren't able to save the songs, but a lot of the stories we saved for them.
We had the what they call the old-time chief talk, which was used in Potlatch oratory. So if a chief went down to Nenana and used that language, a lot of what he said would be understood. If I went down there and my mom spoke, they would have a hard time following it because that would be a very local clan dialect. Our trade language used by a medicine man was multicultural, kind of a mixture of all the different languages and words along the trail.
The medicine man or that person was really criticized by religion that they brought with them. So they really knew a lot about language and how to heal people. And I remember my aunt in her 80s, she remembered all the kadazidni and all the other things that went with medicine. And so her and I started sing in our language at Potlatch, and she get mad at herself because she couldn't remember the words, but yet she had all that knowledge. It's like a library of knowledge, and she was like you. She's just a PhD in the way she was raised.
Most of the Euro-Western system that we have to contend with, they don't really look at storytelling like we do. They look at storytelling as, you know, something fun. When you gift or leave or store a story with another tribe, it's almost the same as offering your life. It's that serious.
I really am grateful for you sharing with me today. It helped heal me inside because in a lot of these science meetings, I get beat up pretty bad. So it's hurtful with some of the stuff that they say, and they don't mean to. They just don't know. And so for me to sit here and learn a little bit about what it was in your country and the way you grew up there with your elders, I can see why they gave you that to share.
Well, thank you. A lot of times over the decades, you end up in Western meetings and Western stuff, and you get treated with contempt and you get treated with dismissive. They say stuff like, you know, it's anecdotal. And
yeah.
I just kept plugging away. I just kept going and going. And so it's really a pleasure for me to be able to have like-minded people in the conversation.
I was going to do this with somebody, and I thought, no, if I'm going to tell it about how we tell stories, it's got to be with somebody that grew up like me. It can't be somebody else. So that's why I look for you all over till I found you.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate it.
You're a doctor in your own right. And,
well, you know, thank you.
In your own way for your own people.
For me,
I'm not there yet. I'm a little bit too young to say anything.
You'll get there. It's like, took me a while.
No, you're there. Your people put you there for a reason. I know those people. I knew some of them. They're gone now. Yeah, good people.
Yeah.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the help and efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skomberg of Mossy Stone Media. Our podcast and outreach specialist is Michael DeLue, and our website designer is Carolyn Rosner. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.